hackingthematrixleakproject.com.
Gentlemen, Rex Bear Leak Project, how the heck are you? Do reptilian shapeshifters exist? Well, the ancients thought so. I'm going to share with you about 7,000 years or more worth of artifacts, scriptures, etc. And I'm going to have to hit the mute button here in a second. Otherwise, we're going to get an echo. All right, I did hit the mute button. No, I didn't. All right, we have the man, the legend, the way of life. Jeffrey Daugherty, the Christian whistleblower. This guy has an awesome YouTube channel. He's got an awesome website. He's an author. He's been on Coast to Coast. And he's got a red and black checkerboard background right now. For those of you out there might be wondering why I have a duct tape aluminum foil hat on, it's because this is such a powerful topic. I have to protect myself from reptilian shapeshifters. And I want to give a huge shout out to Sylvia. Sylvia sent me this like life size, you know, for the size of, I don't know, certain turtles, I guess, is a turtle sized. She says, does this look like a reptilian shapeshifter? Doesn't he look pissed? I mean, doesn't that look like a real reptile? So there you go. I mean, kind of, but let's think about it for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Seriously, how far back do these reptilians actually go? I mean, even in the Bible, we're going to share scriptures with you out of the Bible. I'm going to share Sumerian tablets with you. We're going to look at a lot of the Hollywood, the media, even before Hollywood, the ancient Vedas talk about reptilian shapeshifters. So Jeff, are reptilian shapeshifters real? And guess what? Real quick, I got to throw this out there. Let me just say this real quick, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for staying with us. The Nagas, ancient knowledge, the Nagas. Guess what they are considered to be? Mythical, semi-divine beings, half human, half cobra, strong, handsome species who can assume either holy human form or serpent form and are potentially dangerous, but often beneficial to humans. And guess where they come from, ladies and gentlemen? They come from inner Earth.
How about that?
Hello.
Well, Rex, first let me say, like Mark Twain said, that the reports of my death are greatly exaggerated. I did get put on YouTube timeout. I'm trying to work through a copyright strike, which strangely enough looks like it came from American Gods, Rex. So we're working through that. And I'm putting up a lot of recorded shows, but no live shows. And we are doing live shows over on Twitter. So, and I'm just this short of 10,000 subscribers. So if you haven't subscribed, please consider doing so. I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, good luck with that. I hope everything works out for sure. That's never good to hear. So glad you're still doing your shows, and I'm sure everything will work out.
Absolutely.
You know, you're still doing four or five shows a day sometimes. So what is going on with this reptilian phenomenon? And, you know, let's take it back even further. At inception, you know, they talk about the serpent. Well, the serpent looks like a sperm, you know, a little spermy running around. I'm just saying.
And Rex, the thing that struck me and really started me down this road, and I've actually been on Coast to Coast AM talking about this. I have a book called Serpents and Doves in the Garden of the Gods. And if you look at it, Rex, the serpent is ubiquitous across human cultures. Every single one of them, you've brought them up, the, you know, the Vedas, the Sumerian tablets. You will find the Far East, of course, Native American, and hidden, people haven't seen it, but it's right within Genesis itself. In fact, in the first chapter of Genesis. So this whole thing that we kind of laugh at, this whole thing we kind of joke at about, it is ubiquitous within human culture. No doubt about it.
We are getting nailed on this live stream right now. The gremlins are out in full force, so hopefully we won't have as many problems. I will record this as a backup. So I didn't even hear half of what you said there.
Well, it's a good thing you have your hat on, Rex, because it looks like you're going to need it.
But yeah, I'm going to turn my video off while you talk, because that might help a little bit.
You bet. And the main thing that I was saying was, what we don't understand and what you do a good job of bringing out is that the reptilian mythos is ubiquitous across human cultures. You mentioned the Sumerians, you mentioned the ancient India, you can go to the Native Americans, you can go to the Far East, and this image of the reptile is ubiquitous. It's everywhere across human culture. And even in the Bible, in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, which is the first chapter of the first book of the Bible. So we laugh at it, we chuckle at it, we look down our nose at people that talk about it, but it is ubiquitous across human culture, and there's got to be a reason for it, Rex.
You know, I think that there absolutely is a reason for it, or 100 or a million different things. So how far does it go? And I want to go to the specific scripture that you actually showed me, that in original Hebrew, it talks about God created the serpent. There's actually three different definitions that I pulled up, and this is Genesis 1:21.
Right.
The translation could mean sea monster, it could mean serpent, and the King James Version changes it to like wells, to great wells.
Right.
But Genesis 1:21, and I want to get your take on this. And I want to read it real quick here. Living creature, every and great sea creatures, or it could be great serpents, God and to English. And how did you discover this?
I discovered it, I was coming out of Christianity. I spent 20 years as a full-time minister within three of the largest Protestant denominations in the world. And I had a crisis in my faith where I started thinking, and actually I call it realizing, that there were cracks in the foundation of big time religion. So I laid down everything I was taught and went to the original scriptures and just began to study the original scriptures in the original languages. And this is Genesis 1:21, so it only took me 21 verses to see. And Rex, you're very correctly pointing out that that word can be translated sea creature, can be translated serpent. The key there is to look at how it's translated elsewhere in the Bible. Almost every other place, it's translated as serpent. When Moses and Aaron were in front of Pharaoh and Pharaoh's magicians threw down their rods, they became not great whales. They didn't become sea monsters. They became serpents. When Aaron threw down his rod, it became a serpent. So if you follow that use of that word throughout the Old Testament, it's almost exclusively serpents. So there's no doubt in my mind, having a Bible college degree, having over 100,000 hours of study within the biblical text, and having what I believe is a place of objectivity, because I have no doctrines to defend, that there is no doubt that that scripture tells us that the first upright hominid form on planet Earth was what the Bible calls the majestic serpents. It probably looks somewhat like that turtle that you had there earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, let's talk about some of the, okay, I want to share this with you guys real quick. Just a few of these serpent beings in mythology, cultures around the world, Chinese mythology, Greek mythology, the Epic of Gilgamesh, Babylonia, etc. Ning, Hasida, Glycan, Fu, Zai, Dragon Kings, I mean, this is they're just everywhere. Incredible. And then there's the female aspects of the serpent beings. Then there's the religious aspects. But here, let's talk about this for a minute. What about all of the movies and the TV shows and the programming and even the cartoons that show this infusion almost of the reptilians and the mammalians? And then you even look at our brain, and we have a reptilian brain, a part of our brain that is reptilian, the fight or flight mode. And I almost think like we're a mix. What makes humans so unique is we're a mix of these reptilian beings and the, you know, and maybe the original, at one point, the original creation of a humanoid. There could have been like a full-on mammalian humanoid. And I'm just speculating here, but I do have this really cool tinfoil hat on right now with duct tape. And I think that there's maybe a merger, like we're a mix of these DNAs and of these beings. And that's why they don't have our best interest at heart. And let's take this a step further.
Rex, would it surprise you if I tell you that what you just described is written in the Bible?
No, but I would like to hear it just because I haven't heard it. I think that's fascinating. I think that's incredible.
But we'll come back to it as you continue with what you're saying.
Yeah, the Denver airport. I just got, thank goodness for this hat. I'm telling you, it's bouncing off these EMFs all over the place. Bang, bang, bang. So Denver airport, I mean, they move it mysteriously. It's fine where it's at. And they decide to spend just a crazy amount of money, move the Denver airport, look at the Denver airport from a satellite, see what it looks like, the bird's eye view. Then you find out that it's got these weird tarps above it that can withstand 400, 500 degree temperatures. There's this huge underground setup there that connects to who knows what. I wonder if there's literally reptilianoids or some type of cone heads or elongated skulls or something down there that has to live in that environment and can rarely come out, kind of like we watch these vampire movies and stuff like that. So what is going on underneath the Denver airport? And then there's these murals that show like these freaking robot humanoid things coming out of the ground and being superior to the human kingdom, the animal kingdom, and the plant kingdom. Just bizarre.
Now, you had Ali Marzulli on the show with the elongated skulls. Did he talk about that in reference to reptilians or the Denver airport?
No, we never got into that.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. But what you were mentioning before, Rex,
I would like to know.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, tell us about the scriptures that you said talk about this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. So if you with an objective mind, if you with a scholarly mind, if you with an empirical mind, take a look at the book of Genesis, you will find, and you pair it with the book of Genesis, the book of Job, which is probably older than the book of Genesis, the book of Isaiah, and the book of Jeremiah. And what you find out without one doubt, and again, I've got a Bible college degree. I've got 100,000 hours of study. I didn't wake up this morning and think about this. If you look in the original Hebrew text of the Bible, Rex, what you see is in Genesis chapter 1, there is created a race of beings that are essentially spiritual beings, but they did have the ability, like the Elohim, to manifest into physical bodies. One of the Elohim got upset, went rogue, destroyed that whole world. And then there was this one, you could say, mammalian-based life form. And then they come back, recreate the earth, and the first thing they make are these majestic serpents. And then down in Genesis 26, 27, interestingly, six verses after the majestic serpents are made, we, Homo sapiens sapiens, are made. Science tells us, Rex, that our brains, our bodies, our hair, our teeth, our eyes, our nails, we are undeniably a mixture of reptilian and mammalian / human DNA. The Bible shows us that there was what the Christ called serpents and doves. Doves would be the humans, serpents would be the serpents. We are created as a mixture of the original human or dove form, mixed with the DNA of the majestic serpent form, to give us the best of all of the reptilian traits, the best of all the mammalian traits. And here we are, the ideal optimal life form for planet Earth. That's what the Bible says, Rex, if you look at it in an unbiased, scholarly, empirical study.
Now, my next question is, do you think that these beings, these reptilian beings that are also talked about in the Emerald Tablets of Thoth or of Thoth or of Thought, describing these serpents, they're called the serpent beings that hide in the shadows and hide in positions of very high places, you know, politics, corporations, etc. And they also work through blood. And they were given these powers way back previous Atlantis, these dark black magic powers that they use still to this day. And maybe it's even describing necessarily, because I don't think that these reptilian beings, if they do exist, which they probably do, I don't think they're all bad. I think they're going to be just like humans. You know, there's going to be ones that are very good and kind. There's going to be ones that are, you don't want anything to do with and need to be put very, very, very far, far away from anybody because they're just super evil and wicked and they like to hurt people and stuff like that. And they get off on that. There's literally a mental condition in human beings that get off on that kind of stuff, get off on hurting people. And look at these people that have positions of very high power and money and stuff like that. And I wonder, do they oftentimes, not all of them, I think that there's plenty of people out there that have a lot of money that are very good people, but I wonder if there's certain factions behind the scenes that literally like to play us and like to get us to fight against each other. And they feed off of that energy. And maybe there's something that controls them that feeds off the energy as well. But back to these reptilian shapeshifters. I mean, you can look at statues that are literally 7,000 years old and they're reptilians. You can go to China, you can go to Japan, and you've got these, like if you look at the thumbnail of this video, you're gonna see this samurai that looks like a reptilian samurai. Absolutely. Beautiful statue in a temple in Japan. So it's not like just one culture either.
And think about the dragon imagery within Chinese culture, Rex. Think of the serpent imagery within the Aztec and South American, Central American culture. Think of the serpentine references within Native American culture. It is ubiquitous. It's across the planet. Is everybody wrong? Did everybody suffer from the same mass delusion? I don't think so, Rex. There's something to this. I really believe that there is
something. You know, and then take a look at this. I want to share this with you real quick also, because this is just one of many ancient, you know, this is a very old painting right here. And these are reptilian dudes walking around. There's archaeological evidence showing like dinosaur prints with human footprints. I wonder this also, Jeff, if you ever consider the possibilities that some of these dinosaur bones, etc., some of the fossils and stuff like that, maybe they were smarter than they led on to believe. You know, maybe they had more opportunities, and maybe these reptilians, instead of always thinking they come from outer space, maybe they're just from Earth, and they're like, okay, these humans they're not from here. Like we've been here longer than they have, so let's just, maybe that's why we are a zoo. Literally, could this be a zoo for them? Are they the ones in control? Who do you think's control?
Now, Rex, that's a great question. And you point out you make a good point that if you look at the chronology, as far as we're concerned versus the reptilians, they were here first. Who knows how long of a time there was between Genesis 1:21 and Genesis 1:27? It's six verses. Was it 6 years? Was it 600 years? Was it 6,000 years? Was it 600,000 years? We don't really know, Rex, but we do know that the reptilians have been here a lot longer than we have, or at least significantly longer than we have. And that's key for this reason. You know, a lot of people say, well, if there's reptilians, why don't we ever see them? If there's reptilians, how come we've never run across one of them? Well, you know, the joke is about reptilian shapeshifters. But if you look again into the book of Genesis, the Elohim, the gods that created us, had the ability to shape shift. They would come down in the cool of the evening and walk in a human form and talk with Adam and Eve, quote unquote. The Christ, when he was on earth, could appear and disappear at will. I mean, he could walk on water. He was able to manifest himself in different types of, he was a shapeshifter for all intents and purposes. The Elohim were shapeshifters for all intents and purposes. And those majestic serpents, Rex, they were shapeshifters, and they were shapeshifters for six verses, or who knows how many years that is, longer than we were. And I'm convinced that they have retained much of this knowledge on how to shapeshift that we've forgotten. Now we're getting back there. But one of the reasons why we've never seen them is because a lot of times they shapeshift their appearance, so we don't see them. And I'm convinced, Rex, 100%, that like you said, some of them are good, some of them are bad. But let's face it, we're not at the place as humans where if we knew somebody was a shapeshifter, that they should be afraid of us.
Well, here's the interesting thing is I wonder if they are afraid of us and they're afraid of like this sheeple mentality where, you know, maybe that's why they are in hiding. Maybe that's why they do what they do, or maybe that's why they're hiding in plain sight. Maybe it's easy for them to look just like us. And maybe there's, you know, I've heard the stories about how they have to ingest certain blood and consume blood and stuff like that, whether or not to stay in a human form. I don't know how much truth there is to that. Although I can tell you from people that I know personally, that are related to some, let's just say aristocratic bloodlines. They used to have blood in their refrigerator, like in the gallon, like gallons of blood. And she didn't know if it was like pig blood or what kind of blood it was, if this person bathed in it, so just very, very bizarre. So I want, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. You know, reading through David Icke's books, like the first book that I read of his, the Biggest Secret, you know, he kind of exposed this reptilian agenda to the mainstream. And I certainly don't agree with everything he says by any means, but he connected so many dots in that book to these ancient bloodlines. Now you read through these scriptures and whether it's, once again, Japan, China, Babylonia, or even here in the U.S., you know, the natives, what they talk about, there's this underlying theme of these shape-shifting reptilian humanoids. And absolutely. Now you can watch the TV shows and the programming today, even like these cartoons that are designed for toddlers, and you've got like a dinosaur dancing around with, you know, a little boy or a little girl. They're having fun. They're playing in the park and stuff like that. So there's this merger there. And I don't know, man, it's just fascinating. The more these veils uncover, it's just very, very amazing.
It really is. And somebody is saying that they were wondering if I was going to shapeshift into Gary Busey. And what are you talking about, man? I don't understand.
Let's talk more about some of the, you're going to bring a lot of information to the table. I said, bring some of that woo-woo that's in the Bible. And you said, what's woo-woo? And I said, let's talk about these shapeshifters, these reptilians, these beings that don't look like us unless they shapeshift. What do you got for us? And folks, check out the Christian Whistleblower channel, Jeff Daugherty, also jeffreydaugherty.com. He has a ton of information on scriptures and biblical prophecies, and he breaks it down very.
Thank you, Rex. You know, I do have a book that I wrote. You can get it paperback or you can get it ebook. It's called Serpents and Doves in the Garden of the Gods. It has all of this documentation in it. Or you can go on to my YouTube channel. I would welcome you to consider subscribing. And you can find that. Just put in Serpents and Doves on the search engine. You can find all of that information at no cost to you if you're willing to look through the videos. But if you look at it again objectively, Rex, what I'm able to decipher is that, you know, there was the humanoid created, the reptilian created, and then the hybrid created, which is us. And there was a reptilian member of the Elohim that did not like the fact that even though we have a huge amount of reptilian DNA in us, people don't understand. Our hair is from reptilian DNA. Our skin's from reptilian DNA. Our eyes are from reptilian DNA. Our teeth are from reptilian DNA. Our nails are from reptilian DNA. So we've got a lot of reptile in us, but we don't appear as a reptile. We don't look like that Ninja Turtle. And one of the Elohim was a reptilian. He rebelled because I think maybe he thought that, you know, we didn't look anything like him. We were going to rebel. One of the problems with reptilian nature is territoriality, aggression. He gave in to his lower reptilian things, rebelled. And we actually got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And we were, and this is all within the scriptures, we were herded into a pen. We were put to work hard, and we were working under reptilian overlords, we tried to overthrow that at the Tower of Babel. We weren't quite successful, but we were able to break free at least somewhat to spread throughout the world. And I think I'm convinced that we probably wouldn't have been as successful as we were at the Tower of Babel if we didn't have some inside help. So I was fascinated, Rex, when you started talking about reptilian, benevolent reptilians. And it just came into my mind that there were some benevolent reptilians that saw the abuse of the human race, saw that we were being used as slaves, saw that we were being worked to death. And one of them, some of them said, hey, look, this isn't right. So I believe even in humanity's past, that the benevolent reptilians have come to our aid. And let's think about it, Rex, whether we're going to be attacked by beings from outside the planet, whether we're going to be tried to be, or whether the Illuminati or the elites are going to try to destroy us, what if there were still some benevolent reptilians, Rex, that were willing to come to our aid? What if there were some dudes like that turtle man you got there that was willing to come to our aid as humanity and help us fight against totalitarianism, help us fight against domination, help us fight against any race trying to oppress another? I don't know about you, but I wouldn't refuse the help of a powerful, strong, intelligent, majestic serpent if he wanted to help me. And you know what they say, the enemy of your enemy is your friend. So maybe we should expand our mental boundaries a little bit and consider that we might have another ally in our battle to free humanity if we're willing to consider things that are way outside the box.
Well, and I just let them know that, Jeff. So much appreciated. Knack, knack. They understand now. I'm glad you brought that up because I think that humanity's ready. So the reptilians. Now, but here's another thing that's also fascinating is let's say that reptilians, they decide to go vegan. You know, they decide, hey, vegan's healthier anyway. And, or maybe they just decide, hey, you know, McDonald's or Jeff, which do I want? So I guess you got to be real careful the reptilians you decide to hang out with. But yeah, I think that some of them are definitely vegan. You know, they're not all bad. And here's another thing that I find fascinating. Let's go back to the creation of us. And let's talk about the scientific side of things here. If we were created like in a lab somewhere, did the reptilians do it? Did Bigfoot do it with the reptilians? I'll bet you that, because you can take the Anunnaki back a few hundred thousand years. You can find these ancient Mayans in Africa. They're 250, 300,000 years old, and the Sumerian king list, etc. You can go back 300,000 to 400,000 years. But what was here before them? I mean, were these guys, you know, jumping around and hanging out and, you know, building large craft to fly around, or are they just, you know, nunchucking each other? What was going on 10 million years ago, 20 million years ago, and who made us, like, and where was it done? Three questions in one. Anybody can answer. This would be Jeff Daugherty.
Well, Rex, if you think about it, you're talking about if the reptilians could go vegan. I don't know if you heard me before, but I said there's actually some precedence for that in the literature, because you think about in Twilight, there were some vampires that didn't eat people anymore. They just ate animals, right? So they were kind of, you know, kinder, gentler vampires. So couldn't there be some kinder, gentler reptilians?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Strictly from a biblical standpoint, Rex, I don't claim to be an expert on many things, but I do understand the original scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. I literally have over 100,000 hours of study in those documents. I've got a Bible college degree. I was 20 years as a full-time minister. And if you look at the scriptures, the biblical scriptures paint a picture where the Elohim...
I'm changing bandwidth, so hopefully this will fix it.
That word Elohim means gods and goddesses, male and female, plural, more than one. So these gods and goddesses made a being that we could call a humanoid being. Then these gods and goddesses made the majestic serpent. And it's right there in Genesis 1:26. Somebody said that I'm lying. Go look in the original Hebrew. Do a little homework. Follow the word. See how it's translated other places. And you'll see that the Elohim created a majestic serpent. So they had the human, they had the majestic serpent, and then in Genesis 1:26 and 27, they created the hybrid, which the Christ called the serpent and the dove. Be as wise as serpents, be gentle as doves. So from the biblical text, Rex, to answer your question, we weren't created by reptilians. We were created by gods that created reptilians and then merged us with the reptilians. And I'm convinced here's the reason. They had these humanoid first beings, and they're watching what's going on. And that being proved to be not optimal for life on planet Earth. They said, okay, well, let's try the reptilian being. And the reptilian being ended up being not optimal for life on planet Earth. Or maybe they had it planned the whole time. We just need the DNA from the human, the DNA from the reptilian. And what they did was took both of them. And again, this is all in the scriptures, every jot, every tittle, every line. And they took these two life forms that were perfectly good life forms. I'm convinced that in this universe, there's very likely some humanoids, pure humanoids in some planet somewhere. There's probably some pure reptilians on a planet somewhere. But on this planet, they're not, either one of them, the optimal being. But when you combine those two beings, like the Elohim did, and produce us, human DNA, reptilian DNA, we are, I'm convinced, the optimal life form for planet Earth. So according to the Bible, no, we're not created by reptilians, but like Job said, we are brothers to the serpent because there are, you know, there are progenitors. So that's what happened. The Elohim, the gods and goddesses, made humans, made majestic serpents, and combined us together as a hybrid. And if you think I'm lying, check the Bible and check science. Science has proven that we are. Why do you think you have a reptilian cortex brain? Just look at it. There's a great book called Dragons of Eden by Carl Sagan. If you don't like my religious opinions, try some science and see what you think. I'm not here to convince you what to think. I'm here to give you some information so you can decide what you believe based on as much information as possible.
Absolutely. And let me ask you this also with Revelation. Mm-hmm. Are there discussion points of the serpents in Revelation? And have you been able to break down Revelation into code and a metaphorical aspect?
Revelation is a heavily coded book. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, I've got a whole series of videos on my YouTube channel. It's called Demystifying Revelation. So you're welcome to go look at that. I've written a couple of books about it. But the actual discussion of reptilians in Revelation is not very prominent. But what is prominent is this reptilian god that I talked about that rebelled at the beginning in Genesis. This being shows back up. He shows that he's a dragon. It shows that he is reptilian. It shows that he's blowing fire through his nostrils. And it shows, Rex, that he is covered. The Greek says, the New Testament's Greek, the Old Testament's Hebrew, it says that he's coming down. And it looks like for all the world that he's coming down in a craft, Rex, a spacecraft, and that he is intentionally hiding his real name, his real character. That's what the Greek says. And he's telling us he's somebody else. So is there reptilians in Revelation? It doesn't really talk about it like it does in Genesis, but what we do see is the return of this reptilian, fallen reptilian God trying to convince us that he's here to save us. And I'm convinced he's going to be working with governments, Rex. And, you know, some of the most frightening words in the world are, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you. The only thing that's more frightening, perhaps, is I'm from the government, and I'm here to save you. So the reptilian God is going to try to come back, hiding who he is, get us to buy in. So I'm saying if they come in a spacecraft, don't believe them. If they come saying that they're going to take over the world and it's going to be a kinder, gentler dictatorship, don't believe them. I encourage you to stay divine, stay sovereign, stay free.
Another thing as well, and we've talked about this on previous podcasts, we've got a pretty good sized crowd here right now, even though the gremlins have literally been chomping on the bandwidth this entire show. I've changed bandwidth several times during the show because I have two different bandwidths to hit and it's staying red. The stream is terrible this entire time. So we must be talking about something that is interesting. Yet there's still over 730 people that are dealing with the gremlins. So much appreciated you guys putting up with this. Hopefully the audio is coming in okay, even though we're getting some lag with video. But I wonder, with these AI technologies that are being created right now, if other entities, other beings, and, you know, maybe the serpent race, we'll get to that in a minute. This is what I wanted to talk about. The Vatican is definitely designed, even if you go into the Vatican and you look at a picture, it looks like the inside head of a serpent being. And, you know, the depiction of Jesus, in my opinion, looks like the serpent head, and it looks like he's in some type of soul trap or something like that, where they're bringing him down and they're not letting him out. Whether that's the real Christ or not, that's definitely debatable. But I don't know how far back the original Christ goes, the Christ, the Christos, etc. That's a whole other can of worms we could get into. But what's your take on the Vatican and the serpent? And do you think that the serpent beings could actually be controlling the Vatican?
Well, Rex, just think how bad it would be if you weren't able to take advantage of Virtual Shield, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Virtual Shield, this isn't even my VPN. This is directly from, it's hitting my router. Like, my router is getting nailed. So they love this. I mean, they love us so much that, doesn't it just kind of add to the excitement, though, when you're watching a podcast, talking about something that's very interesting, highly suppressed information on the entire podcast, even if you keep changing bandwidths, you're still having issues? Well, the gremlins love to feed on the good stuff.
It's because they love us so much, Rex.
They adore us. They adore us.
You know, I have to tell you, I have to confess, you know, I'm mainly a textual guy. I stay to the text. I look at the text. I explore the text. And when I heard things about the Vatican and the snake hall and the Jesus snake, I'm like, I don't know. And then I watched your show, not the one you had me on necessarily, but you had one before with some other people showing that stuff. And I'm looking at the screen like, what? I mean, when you see that hall, there's no doubt, Rex, that it's the head of a snake. You just can't deny it. You cannot deny it. You look at that thing of Jesus, like he's, it reminded me of Constantine, like he's getting sucked down to hell. Looks for all the world like he's got a reptilian head. And those things can't happen by accident, Rex. Those aren't things that are just like, oops, we made a mistake and everything looks super reptilian. And I have to ask the question, Rex, as an objective, empirical scholar, I also have an associate's degree in anthropology. So I understand cultures, I understand architecture, I understand looking at relics. And if they weren't trying to give us some type of a messaging that there is reptilian involvement in the Vatican, if they weren't trying to pay some type of homage to reptilians in the Vatican, why the hell would they go out of their way to invoke such powerful reptilian imagery? If somebody's got an answer for it, I'm all ears.
Well, I mean, people don't question the $100 million towers that are popping up over New York City that have these mesh wiry bottoms, and they've got these weird looking cameras and sensors, and they're like, oh, well, the one guy over there said it was just art and it was $100 million. Okay, I got to go pay my taxes. Back to you. I need to go get some more lithium pills too. Oh, did you see that new stupid vaccine? Did you get that? Did you get it? Okay, so let's get into some woo-woo, Jeff. Share with us some of the most fascinating scriptures that you have found in the Bible, whether it's the Hebrew translation. Let's get to the Hebrew stuff here, because I think the King All right. James Version has kind of watered things down a little bit.
Absolutely. And you know, I think the most important thing for people that really want to understand what the Bible's saying, and you know what? I'm not here to tell you not to be a Christian. I'm just here to let you know that you deserve to know the truth. You deserve to know what the foundation is behind your beliefs. You deserve to know what the scriptures that you base your faith on are really saying. And you know, if you look at the first words in the Bible, in the beginning, God. That fourth word is God. And we think of Charlton Heston. You know, we think of Morgan Freeman or whatever. We think of this one dude, this monolithic, august, you know, usually long gray hair, big beard. We think of that as God. And that's kind of the picture that we have throughout Western culture. But if you'll just take the time to go and look in a Hebrew English interlinear, go online to BibleHub.com. I don't get paid to say that. If they knew I was using it, they'd probably block me. But if you go on there and look at BibleHub.com, look at the word Elohim. It says gods and goddesses, male and female, more than one. And that right there is enough to imagine a guy who's a Christian minister. I'm living in a house provided by the church. I'm driving a car provided by the church. I'm getting paid by the church. My kids are eating food provided by the church. I read this and I'm like, everything they've taught me is wrong. And can you imagine the pressure of I'm sitting here teaching things that I know now are wrong? And if I had more integrity, I would have left right there. But it took me about 7 years to finally get up enough courage, enough testicular fortitude, if you will, to walk out. But just those four words into the Bible were shown that we've been told a story. We've been sold a story that isn't really reflective of the truth of the Hebrew scriptures. And Rex, the more I study and the more I hear folks like you, folks like Wayne, some of the other great researchers comparing the ancient creation mythos, there's no doubt about it that the writers of Genesis were fully aware of the writers of the writings of the Sumerians, probably of the Vedics, maybe even of some of the people of the East. And to put it very, very mildly, they borrowed liberally from those other stories. I'm not going to say they plagiarized them, but they borrowed liberally from them. And part of what they borrowed liberally was that ubiquitous nature of the serpent in the creation of humanity. And Job said, we're brothers to the serpent. And we've always been brothers to the serpent, Rex. Wherever you see humans, you see serpents nearby and vice versa. What's it all about, Rex? You come from somewhat of a religious background, but where you are now, if somebody pushed you in a corner and said, tell us what's going on with reptilians and serpents being inextricably linked throughout recorded history, what's your answer?
I will not answer your question because the artificial intelligence told me not to. They will answer it for me. Let me ask my smartphone.
There's so many. I don't know what I'd say, man. I would probably tell them, well, what do you want to know? How far down the rabbit hole do you want to go? Because once I start talking a little bit, then I start talking about 10 other things that trips people out, and never go to a hairstylist and talk about conspiracies. And even if they ask you about conspiracies, like literally, don't tell them because they'll just freak out and they'll cut your hair so bad. You'll want to buzz cut it. But what would I say? What would I say about the reptilian theme, underlying theme? I feel that this is some type of zoo, some type of boot camp zoo. And we are like entertainment for different levels of entities. Now, whether or not they're, and here's another thing that's oh my goodness, it's finally a green stream. Yes, the gremlins stop munching on the bandwidth for like 5 seconds, then it'll happen again. Now we've got almost 900 people watching the show. Thank you, everybody. Oh, it went red again. Talk to you soon. Jeff, would you be interested in, let me ask you this, how much do you know about Enoch, the book of Enoch and the book of Job, the scriptures that go back probably thousands of years?
Well, I have a unique take on the book of Enoch. I think there was an original book of Enoch, but I believe from my studies that the one that we have that was brought back, from Ethiopia, they brought back two copies. I know that I'm going to get a lot of flack on this, Rex, but I think that document is a forgery. I don't think we really have the book of Enoch. The book of Enoch has been lost in antiquity. And I think a lot of this lore that we have, whether you call them watchers or whether you have angels having sex with humans and putting off offspring, again, I'm a text guy. The text says that there were giants on the earth. The text says that there were men on the earth. The text says that there were angels involved, but the text never says that angels, any supernatural being, ever had sex with a human and produced any type of an offspring. So the whole watchers lore, the whole Enoch lore, I think is based upon a fraudulent document. The book of Enoch and the real book of Enoch has been lost in antiquity. I wouldn't come on and say that on your show, but you asked me.
I'm glad you told me. I mean, yeah, I mean, give us your scoop, give us your truth, and you could be right. I don't know. There's several variants of the Book of Enoch. I've actually read three of them, and one of them from a Jewish rabbi, very fascinating, and then one of the Ethiopian version, and then there was the other Book of Enoch, and they were all incredible. One thing that I do find fascinating is the more you learn about these symbols in the astral realm, kind of in the spirit world, man, like Young Guns. Why aren't they shooting us? Because we're in the spirit world. I love that scene from Young Guns. They're eating peyote. They're on these horses. That's right. Anyway, I'm divagating, but I think that there's a lot of mysticism and symbolism stuck in these scriptures and teachings, especially Revelation. And Albert Pike said there's more stuff in Revelation than there is in a pantheon of these ancient Hermetic scriptures. You just have to know how to find it. And when you read through the numbers and the colors and the sequences, I used to think that the New Jerusalem that descends from heaven is some type of spaceship, like a Borg cube that descends and assimilates people. Now I look at it more as a spiritual on a higher vibrational realm, but it could be both. You know, it could be as above, so below. It could be doing both things.
Absolutely.
I would like to do another podcast with you, Jeff, where we aren't having these issues with the video. The audio is coming in okay, but I'm wondering if I just reboot my entire system and come back on, if we'll have a better stream. Do you have enough information and data that you think you could do a really, maybe like an hour show on Revelation with me?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Just depends upon which direction you want to go. We could probably spend a week on a show going through Revelation.
Because I would really like to do that. I think Revelation is the most, in my opinion, one of the most important books in the Bible that most people have access to. And I would like to break that down with other scriptures and texts of antiquity, like the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, like some of these Sumerian tablets that are very, even the Egyptian stuff. We can take them all and kind of bring them together and put some of the dots together and hopefully learn from it. So that would be great. Yeah. If you could come back on here in a little bit, I think that'd be fantastic. We'll close this out because the gremlins are hungry.
Just send me a link and I'll be here, my friend.
Right on. Ladies and gentlemen, check out Jeffrey Daugherty, Christian Whistleblower. Subscribe to his YouTube channel. Also check out his website. He does podcasts every single day. He does more podcasts than me. I mean, this guy is awesome. Also, you guys, I just do want to give a huge shout out to one of Leak Project sponsors, and that is GetTheTea.com. I've been taking these things called Coral Seas, and wow, I love them. A lot of people around me have been getting the flu all the way up into the Northwest. I got family out there that's got really sick. So I've just been taking two of these a day, drinking some kombucha.
Here we go. Okay. All right. It took a second. Ladies and gentlemen, I was freaked out there. I have a reptilian shapeshifter behind me. This guy is a legend. This guy is amazing. Boogie. Stevie Boogie. This guy is going to jam out. Now, Brady Shally actually did some incredible work. As you can see, he is a reptilian shapeshifter because of Brady. Brady actually does custom paint, as you have seen probably the paintings behind me when I do shows like four podcasts a day, leakproject.com, youtube.com/clandestinetimelord. Well, check it out. This is the legend. All right, let's rock and roll, Stevie. Boogie, reptilian shapeshifter. We're going to do a few songs. You guys just kick back, relax, have a good time. Enjoy the show. And remember, all right. Thank you.
Brady actually does custom paint, as you have seen probably the paintings behind me when I do shows, like four podcasts a day, leakproject.com, youtube.com/MyDestinyTimeLord. This guy is a legend. This guy is amazing. Boogie. Stevie Boogie. This guy is going to jam out. Now, Brady Shally actually did some incredible work, as you can see. Reptilian shapeshifter behind me.
Thank you for listening. My name is Boogie.
So, Boogie, how do people get a hold of you, man? How often do you do shows?
Shoot, I haven't done a show in a long time. But, you know, I guess you can get a hold of me on Shally Brady Instagram.
All right, folks, there's been so many people that have asked me, you know, hey, where do you get these posters? I'm like, they're not posters. It's custom artwork. Well, this is the legend that actually does this work, folks. So, Brady, say hello. She's reading the comments. Be nice, people. Now, it's funny because some people are so serious, they're going to go back and they're going to watch this again and they're going to say, wow, that music was awesome. What was I doing? Why so serious? Thanks, everybody, for being here. Be amazing to each other. Remember, what did Bill and Ted do to save the world? Seriously, what did they do? They were excellent to each other. You think you can do that? Can you be excellent to each other? Well, you can save the world. And we have some awesome music to listen to. Definitely want to get you back on with some custom audio. Thank you so much,
yes,
brother.
Yes, I will.
Right on, Boogie!
And it's not a theory or conspiracy. Oh, it's more than you expect. It is leak project. Yes, it's leak project.
All right. Be the change you want to see, ladies and gentlemen. Now I have to hit the stop button. I don't know how to do that. I'm gonna be here forever.
That works.
Be excellent to each other. And